Hey, welcome back to Corinth in Your Car, and man, happy Easter. That was a great day yesterday, or a few days ago as you listen. We are pumped as we record a few days before Easter, but yeah, how are you guys feeling?
Feel good.
Yeah, feel good. Feel pollen-y today.
Yeah, but me too.
All right.
It's like the first time the pollen has really hit me.
Really?
It's been
attacking me for a week and a half, 2 weeks now. It's nasty and gross.
I'm just built different, Luke.
Yeah. Hey, I forgot to introduce ourselves. I'm Josh. Luke and Adam are here with me, and we're excited for another episode of Corinth in Your Car, 80-something. I don't know, something like that.
I think it's 81. And welcome back to our Spotify listeners, because for whatever reason, we're now populating Spotify again.
We're back on Spotify.
All right, good.
Sweet.
Hey, we lost all of our old episodes on Spotify, which is fantastic. But the last 10, I think, are now showing.
That's okay. If you want to binge, you can just go to corinth.cc.
Yep.
That's right.
You'll be all right.
Hey, I've got some good news as well. For the first listener to text Luke right now, I love Oklahoma.
Oh.
I will give him a $100 Kroger gift card.
Wow.
Wait, for real? This is a real thing.
Can I text
right now? April Fool's is the day this comes out.
Oh, April Fool's.
April
okay.
Fool's, yeah. But still go ahead and text Luke.
No, please.
Oklahoma
please
is the...
I was going to say, can I text him right now?
Oklahoma. Okay, so the reason that Texas doesn't fall off into the Gulf of Mexico is because Oklahoma sucks. So that's the way it goes.
So it is April Fool's Day, April 1st, as this comes out. And growing up, Sasha's dad would always tell her, hey, it's snowing. And then April Fool's.
Mm-hmm.
So last night she texted him and said, have you seen the forecast in Georgia for next week? And he's like, no. And he checked it and he goes, looks like 70s. She goes, actually, there's snow in the forecast.
That's funny.
He's like, I haven't seen that. And then so she goes, April Fool's. And then it was so funny. He wouldn't admit it, that he got.
That's
it was great. Yeah,
yeah.
It was really great. So anyway, we're happy to be here. Hey, I thought we'd do a check-in this way today. Adam, you've talked about kind of three R's before, reflective, relational, and recreational. So just give a quick highlight from each one this past week. How have those been going?
Yeah, finally got through Numbers. And that was great.
Yeah.
Nice. Way to go.
I'm doing a similar...
Straight into Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
A similar plan, yeah. So I'm right there.
Deuteronomy is Leviticus 2.0, but a little bit more pastoral.
Yeah. The first few chapters aren't too bad. But got through that. And then a relational, I've had some just good... good get-togethers with some of my strength groups, and then recreational. The weather is finally cooperating a little bit. Been able to get out on the golf course, so that's my main one, and hitting the gym as well.
Yeah, good, Luke.
Yeah, reflective. I'm all the way up in Ezekiel.
Great,
which is also one that's a little tougher.
Lots of eyeballs and wings.
Yeah,
and holy, holy, holy.
Yep.
Okay.
But I started my Bible reading plan this year in Joshua, so
okay.
That I skipped the Torah. So I'll get to that one at a
most of
point,
Joshua but. Is just the separation of the division of the land.
Oh man, it's be strong and courageous and march around
that's
the Jericho.
This land starts here and ends there, and this land starts here and ends there.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so in Ezekiel and kind of enjoying that one some, and just continuing to read Paul David Tripp and Oswald Chambers and a lot of other really good stuff. Relationally, we didn't have small group this last Monday, but that's because we're looking forward to what will happen tomorrow as we're recording on Friday, a Seder meal with our small group. But it's been good. We've had a little bit more family time. And Tristan and I have had a little bit more time this last week because of what we did for youth group, a little bit different than normal. We had all of the small group leaders take their small groups and just do something else rather than meeting here at the church. And a lot of cool stories that came from that. So that was fun. And it gave me the opportunity to hang out with Tristan a little bit. So
that was fun. Good deal.
Yeah.
Good deal. Somewhat the same here. Just I am reading Paul David Tripp this year, going through the Bible. And that's been good. So the early morning rhythm before kids are up for me, that's been going well. Relational, similar. Looking forward to the the Seder stuff, but also been able to connect with some old friends recently.
Yeah.
And then recreational, kind of similar to you, Adam. Jim, outside is cooperating for kids and outside. And I'm looking forward to spring break coming up to do some outside things. So, hey, March Madness is in the middle. It's in the middle of going on right now. So,
yeah.
Do you guys have a pick? Who do you think is going to win?
Well, I put Purdue on my bracket choice. But as we record right now, my bracket is only 36.8% accurate, which is not very good. So,
I would say
that's a failing grade. Now, still, if I eat 38.6 or 36.8% of a pie, most people would deem that too much pie. So if you slice it up that way, I'm doing okay.
All right.
But not good.
Well, I think Adam was the best basketball player here of any of us.
Yeah, I would venture to say that. Since, I had my days, though.
Since I made the C team. I mean, I'm pretty sure. So Adam, is Houston or Duke? These are the ones that are left.
Guys, I know nothing.
You know nothing?
I have watched
nothing. Oh, we're actually live picking the rest of the teams right now.
Super fast. Houston or Duke?
Let's go Houston, just because Texas, even though Duke has a long history of
NC State or Marquette? NC State or Marquette?
I don't know.
Let's go Marquette.
All right, Purdue or Gonzaga?
Let's go Purdue.
Yeah, I can go with Purdue. Well, no, I'll go Gonzaga.
Yeah, all right, I'm going to agree with that. I pick them every year to win. It's going to be the year someday, some year. Creighton or Tennessee?
Tennessee.
Okay.
Only because they just beat Texas.
Clemson or Arizona?
Arizona.
North Carolina.
Nod to Sean Elliott.
North Carolina or Alabama?
North Carolina.
Yeah.
North Carolina or Alabama?
Yeah.
I'll go Alabama. Why not?
Ooh.
All right. All right.
Boo.
So we're going there. Iowa State or Illinois?
The Fighting Illinois. I'll go with the Illinois.
All right. Adam, UConn or San Diego State?
I'll just go San Diego State.
All right. I like it.
It's nice.
All right. So we'll go back down. San Diego or Illinois?
Who?
Hold on. Who?
San Diego State or Illinois?
Oh, okay. The next round.
Fighting each other. Yeah, the next round. We got to go quick.
All right. San Diego State.
All right.
Yeah.
Sure. Alabama or Arizona?
It's going to be Arizona.
Sure. Alabama. Why not?
All right, we're going with Adam because he's the best ball player here. So
he's watching zero college.
That's right. Houston or Marquette?
Marquette. Why not?
Marquette.
Why not? I like. Let's just pick all the lower seeds, maybe.
Yeah, that's.
I don't even know what the seeds are.
Hey, Gonzaga or Tennessee?
Tennessee.
All right.
Actually, wait. What round is that?
That's this is the Elite Eight, right?
Elite Eight. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then go with the other one.
Gonzaga.
Yeah, Rick Barnes won't be able to get him to the Final Four.
All right, so Gonzaga versus Marquette.
Gonzaga.
Sure.
Great. And then San Diego State or Alabama?
Alabama.
All right, so now we have...
to this podcast, we're starting to get mad at you here, Adam.
Alabama versus Gonzaga in the championship. Who wins?
Alabama.
All right, you heard it here first.
No
the likelihood
chance.
Of that actually happening.
What seed are they?
Alabama?
They're a four seed.
They're a four. They're not like, you know, 13.
But they'll have to go
like
through
that.
North Carolina.
Yeah.
Who's a one seed.
All right. So, like I said, you heard it here first.
North Carolina's overrated, I'm sure.
Oh,
you
man.
You get Michael Jordan to play for you, and then all of a sudden your school's relevant forever.
All right. So here's a real quick just check-in question, actually. So what did basketball, you both grew up playing, what did that teach you about life, leadership, fun, all of it? What are your some of just a favorite memory?
I think that it's for me, it was just you're always capable to push through what you think is the end.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whatever your talent level is, you just always want to maximize that to your fullest extent. You may not be the best player out there, but can you be the best version of you? And so
I like that. Good.
Yeah, I would echo that, especially in the preseason workouts. Our coach just always had a gift of getting way more out of us than we thought we could give.
Yeah, that's good.
And we hated him for it, and our muscles were sore. But
you loved him for
always,
it.
Yeah, you loved him for it too. And but what this is kind of an odd thing. One of the things that I always think about whenever I think about playing basketball is the importance of attention to detail that I learned.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I first started playing, I was just like, oh, it's basketball, all that sort of stuff. And what I loved most about basketball was actually like the details surrounding this is how a zone is run, and this is the flex mm-hmm. offense, and this is the motion offense, and these are the inbounds plays. And like it was just super, super fun.
Yeah.
To pay attention to the detail. And what we found is whenever we were winning games, it's because we were executing details well, not because we were super, talented or athletic or anything like that. We had some good ball players. And for me, I was halfway decent and was tall. So that's important on a basketball court. So, but what I found is just like, I fell in love with just the details of the game, and actually even wrote a couple of inbounds plays for our team. Because by the time I had,
Become
a senior and everything, because it was just a lot of fun.
You wrote them?
Yeah. Like I came up with them.
Designed them?
Yeah, designed them.
Yeah, drew them up.
He wrote out all the words.
Yeah.
Pass the ball.
Yeah, pass the ball. No.
You drew the X's and O's.
The X's and the A's and O's and stuff like that. So, but yeah, that was that. I had so much fun with that. Just basketball taught me, in addition to the perseverance and the character and the camaraderie and community and fellowship, it was like, man, details are really, really important. And if you execute those well, in anything, you're gonna succeed.
Yeah, excellent. Cool. Easter was yesterday. Now that it's over, I guess as we listen, what are spring break plans, golf plans, recreation plans? What do you got next week?
Yeah, so I am going to be coming into the office still every day to work a little bit, but I might sneak out early afternoons if it's nice out and go play one of.
Yeah, we got
varieties of golf. So,
well, we talked about going out together and getting Dominic out there. He's been throwing a disc
golf. So,
yeah.
He every time I see him, he mentions something about going to play. So,
yeah,
we're gonna get Dominic out there playing some disc golf.
And we know Adam how much he loves breaks and holidays. Now that his kids are gone.
Oh yeah, it's super important to me.
The sarcasm is thick right now. So anyway, let's jump in to thinking about the sermon. And Easter Sunday, and just the highlights from that, and all that kind of stuff. We wrapped up the series Encounters. And so, Adam, tell us a little bit about the sermon from yesterday. And, I mean, had you ever preached on the thief on the cross before?
I don't know that I've ever done a full sermon on him. Mm-hmm. I know I've referenced him for sure. But yeah, so preaching on the thief on the cross, just there at the very end, some of the last words of Jesus for sure, and the last words of that guy hanging on the cross as well. So preach on that, and feel as of Thursday feel pretty good about it. So
yeah,
I mean it's an important message. So
it's really important.
It's a really important message. So Luke, you popped in there and said it's really important. What jumped out to you?
Yeah, I think my favorite part, and I think this was probably your favorite part to share, probably too, Adam, was way at the end, and I think we'll talk about it here in a little bit, but whenever you showed that clip and just talked about, well, how can, like, on what basis are you here, dude? And
right.
Like, well, the guy on the middle cross said I could come, and if that's what Jesus said, then that's probably legit. So I just, that was really, really cool, but I really appreciated some of the details surrounding the story. I had never done a deep dive on this one, and so to just like hear you talk through the biblical accounts and then piece together, like, this dude was he didn't start receptive to Jesus. He started just like the other dude bashing Jesus and all that sort of stuff, and then it was, I thought, one of the most powerful ones, things you pointed out yesterday, Adam, was it was whenever he heard Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, that he begins to question his presuppositions toward Jesus. Ooh, maybe this guy is a little bit different. Oh.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that here
in
a minute.
That was huge. I loved that detail you pointed out.
Yeah.
If you remember the outline, there was kind of a past, present, and future, and I appreciated that. Just, nothing is too bad from your past for Jesus to forgive, and you can never be too good yourself. And then the present, like where you are right now, it doesn't matter where you are. It's the present, and there's no time like the present. And that's not just a cliche. Like it's never too late until it is. Which is a caution that you left in there, Adam. I think you've said it before, take as long as you need, but don't take a moment longer.
Yeah.
to consider Jesus. Like, don't rush into this decision, but we truly don't ever know when the last day is going to be. So, you started out with some famous last words. So, drink to me, Picasso. Karl Marx said, go on, get out. Last words are for fools who haven't said enough.
Yeah.
I don't think Karl Marx is our ideal person to follow there.
Well, and that guy probably said too much.
So. Yeah. And I gotta confess, I don't know who Todd Beamer is. Who is
Are
that?
You serious?
I don't, yeah.
That's the 9/11 guy in United Flight 93 on 9/11.
Okay.
He's the one that was on the phone with his wife whenever the terrorists had taken the plane, and they're the ones that wrestled them down to the Pennsylvania one.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that name.
And so his last words to his wife that she heard was him just saying, let's roll.
Okay.
Because he was talking to all the other guys on the plane.
Wow.
It's like, we're going to take these guys out.
Wow.
That's cool.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I didn't know that guy by name, but by story. Great.
I guess it was 23 years ago.
I mean,
yeah, that's a generational shift.
It was 23 years ago, and I was a freshman in high school.
Yeah.
So
I was five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at that point, I didn't really remember people's names as much as school was obviously canceled the whole day, and the TVs were on, and trying to figure out what was going on. Anyway, so famous last words. Do any of you have a famous last word type story? Like, you said something and then you did something dumb, or you said something and then actually did something cool.
A lot of it, you know, like about saying something dumb.
Like, hey, watch this, and then you did hit the hole in one, or or like, hey, watch this, and then you broke your ankle. Like,
yeah, that's usually the way it goes. Like, if I'm out disc golfing and Tristan's with me, I'll be like, hey, this hole has the potential for an ace, so why don't you go ahead and put it on film? And then I shank it into a tree or something like that. The story that I thought of right away, Josh, I know you know about this. I don't know if I've, Adam, you've ever heard about this, but whenever I was doing camp teams for Ozark, there was a summer where there was a theme of Christmas for the summer, and we were encouraged with our students to perform some musical skits surrounding Christmas. So I wrote and performed with teenagers a song. Our skit was Wiggles Christmas, so we were all Wiggles characters, and we wrote and performed a song. Well, I wrote and performed a song because the students didn't have anything to do with it until I said, hey, here's what we're doing. It was a song about Mary giving birth.
Yeah.
So that was definitely some words that they were weird.
They were weird, and I think why you're saying their famous last words is because you didn't think all the parents would be in attendance when you performed it.
So that was another thing, too, was I thought that this was just the leaders and students at the camp, but what I found out was it's a small country camp, and on that night where the skits are performed,
parents
family
all,
night.
all the family comes out, and here I am just like, oh, no. But it's okay. So, it was fun.
Yeah.
Famous last words.
Famous last words.
Never on camp teams again after
that. I wasn't. But here's the funny story. Here's the funny story. The youth minister of the group that I was helping with and the students loved it so much that 1 year later, summer rolls around, and they're having a party, and they asked me to Skype into this party. Skype. They asked me to virtually be there. So that I could sing the song with them again. So
great job.
Yeah. But it was, I digress.
Yeah.
Great job.
That's what
any,
I thought of.
Any last words, Adam?
So this one is more on the serious note. My grandma and grandpa met they both grew up in Carthage. And so the way my grandpa tells the story is he was standing at the top of the stairs at the high school and he saw this just gorgeous girl walk in.
Yeah.
And he's like, he knew that day, you know, that's who he was going to marry is what the story is. And so whenever he was dying, his last words to my grandma, Gloria, he called her G, is he told her, he said, G, I'll see you at the top of the stairs.
Oh,
that's fun.
Super cute. Yeah. Yeah. Love that. So, yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's probably the most personal one that I can think of.
Yeah. Well, Luke,
it's better than a song about Mary giving birth. Yeah.
Well, so I told years ago, I told this story in youth group and stuff. So some people might remember this, but if I haven't told you, I did hit myself in the face with a baseball bat one time. It was the day before graduation and I was excited. So I screamed, graduation. Yeah. And then I was trying to show my excitement and I hit a basketball with a baseball bat.
Uh-huh.
But I wasn't thinking long enough through to know that that basketball was going to just bounce the bat right back up. My thought was I would hit the ball and it would bounce up.
You got to follow through there, buddy.
Yeah. So anyway, it bounced right back into my face. And luckily, I did not get a black eye. So I lucked out on that one.
There you go.
So I didn't have black eye in my graduation photos.
Nice. Yes,
but we digressed. Famous last words. Both Jesus had some. You know, there were seven of them from the cross. We talked about a few of them today. I can't remember. In the Luke text, are there two words from the cross? I can't remember. There's a couple, at least, that we know of, but seven total, and then the thief as well that we're going to talk through. So let's talk through those thieves for a little bit on the right and left of Jesus. We talked about it for a couple weeks now with Barabbas last week, Pilate substituting him for Jesus, or Jesus for him. And so some people's perceptions of them, I love how you said it in the message, Adam, that they were just bad guys, and it's not really the right perception. So what are they really? Who are they? What are they trying to do?
Yeah. Well, they're not shoplifters. We can go with that.
Or identity thefters.
Yeah, they're not stealing people's identity or those things. They're revolutionaries is what they are. And I think it makes sense. And I can't remember. I don't have it in my notes, but I don't know if it's apocryphal or not, but like they've been named throughout history. Sure. I can't remember what they, I can't find it in my notes, but probably a part of the trio with Barabbas.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all, Barabbas, I'm assuming, would be the leader of that group. And that's why Pilate presented him.
Right.
And not the henchman.
Sure.
You know, because it's like, you want this violent revolutionary leader kind of guy of a coup attempt over Rome, or do you want Jesus? And so, we're probably talking revolutionaries, guys who thought they were doing the right thing because they're trying to, you know, deliver a new kingdom. Mm-hmm. They're trying to overthrow Rome and set up a new kingdom of God for the people of Israel and set them free. Just they're going about it in the wrong way.
Yeah, yeah. Some interesting stuff I kind of came across last week with Barabbas. You know, the Jewish term bar just means son of, and then Abba is father. So his name literally means son of the father.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of wild. Jesus is the son of God, the father, who died in the place of the son of the father. So we could be sons and daughters of the father. Yeah. Really, really cool. And it helped change my perspective a little bit of Barabbas, because that name, kind of like a Jezebel or something, has just become synonymous with bad.
Sure.
And Barabbas, his name means son of the father.
Right.
And he was going about it the wrong way.
Right.
But ultimately,
well,
we think these guys were probably trying to love God, just like Saul was persecuting Christians and killing them.
And, and to go a step further, I mean, if you can't really divide the people of Israel into two categories, but if you were going to try in regards to their relationship with Rome, you would probably be able to say half of the people in Israel really wanted to overthrow Rome this way because they were tired of being oppressed. Mm-hmm. The other half may have wanted to just like cohabitate with Rome, you know, figure out how can we live in this kingdom and, you know, be okay and not get in trouble and all that sort of stuff. So you've got the potential that some of the people in this crowd who are putting Jesus up for crucifixion are looking at these thieves, quote unquote,
as heroes,
because they're the ones who are trying to overthrow Rome. And that's why Rome crucifies them, because it's like, no, you can't overthrow this kingdom. You know, we're going to flex the power like you were talking about with Pilate over and over again. So it's just, it's interesting to even think about. We have this perception of them sometimes as, oh, these are just like bad dudes. Well, I don't even think that the crowd would have.
The crowd probably would have been split, which explained why they wanted Barabbas instead of Jesus.
Right, exactly.
Why it would have been at least an easier thing to convince, right? Because a lot of the crowd. So most of the people that loved Jesus were up in Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the Jerusalemites weren't as familiar with him as those in Galilee.
Yeah, in fact, what was I reading just recently? Good grief. But anyway, it was something about how Jesus wasn't I don't remember who was talking about this, but they were talking about Judas betrayed him with a kiss.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was Leonard Sweet. He tweeted this out. There we go. And his question was, he's like, why did Judas even have to point who Jesus out is?
Right. Sure.
Why does he have to point him out?
Yeah.
You know, because Jesus is famous and these kind of things. And it's like, and he, that was the point he was making.
Yeah.
Is, I don't know, directional, but let's just, Galilee to the north?
Galilee's north. Yeah.
So he spends more of his time to the north and now he's in Jerusalem. Yeah. And while he's famous, he may not have been seen a whole lot.
Sure. Correct. And there's no social media.
There's no social media.
Yeah. Jesus' profile. He's not in any memes back then, right?
Yes. And if you throw in the Isaiah passage that there's nothing extraordinary about how he looks, he just looks like everybody else.
Normal guy.
That's why Judas has to even point him out in the first place.
Judas didn't wasn't
and it's
able
the middle
to say
of the night.
He's the one wearing the white cloak,
start.
The blue sash.
Well,
it's interesting to think just even going back to the thieves on the cross and Barabbas and all that sort of stuff. I always think of Simon the Zealot as well.
Exactly.
Like Simon becomes one of Jesus' followers. If Simon had continued,
he could have been on a cross.
That could have been him. Like he could have been one of Barabbas' henchmen because what he was trying to do, again, overthrow the Roman Empire, maybe not in the right way. But
exactly.
It's just interesting to think about those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you said right things, wrong methods. Obviously, we're talking about thieves on the cross. But when we think about 2024 here, Walton County, America, what are some maybe examples that you think of that pop into your head? Which would fit that same bill, just right things, wrong methods.
I've actually got one that I don't know if anybody would naturally think about, so I'll go last.
You'll go last, okay. Put me on the spot.
Yeah.
I think, golly, that there are... This is a question that could get into a lot of stuff, but I think about right away, right things, wrong methods, maybe something like a social justice. Like we wanna make sure that people are taken care of and all that sort of stuff, but the way that we go about it in culture isn't necessarily the right way. There's a better way called biblical justice.
Mm-hmm.
I think about just this isn't just particular to American cultural context right now, but just the history of humankind. I think that generally people are trying to find significance and meaning and purpose in life and they go about it completely the wrong way. So those are a couple of things that pop out right to my mind when you ask that question. But
politics came up last night in the fearless parenting stuff and just how politics aren't wrong. But when we go looking for them to be a certain type of savior and the question was posed like, why don't Christians, not just in politics, but just life in general, like why do Christians get scared? This is fearless parenting, right? So why do Christians get scared over the same things that non-Christians get scared over?
That's a good question.
There's a king on the throne.
Yep.
And when we should have different values. And I love Tim. He's like, I'm not saying politics are wrong. It's just that I think the kingdom is better.
Amen.
And so we have to
absolutely
really think through that kind of stuff. You know, I'm in the parenting zone right now. So I think of right things, wrong methods. Sometimes, The funny story is one time I told my daughter, you can't have another strawberry till you finish your pancake. And I was trying to teach her, you know, you have to eat what's on your plate. But obviously, I kind of missed the point there.
Sure.
But there's other times where, you know, maybe you're trying to teach your kids respect or order and keeping the room clean or whatever it might be. And if we're not careful, the methodology of bringing those things about can sometimes you just forget the relationship or so it's just a caution out there for people like me.
Yeah.
Mid to late, golly, late now, 30s, raising kids. So
yeah, you're old now, dude.
I know,
man. I got a year and a few months left of 30s.
Yeah. Right things, wrong methods. Me on the golf course, I might roll one up on the green. The result is right. The wrong method is that I thinned it and it just rolled and rolled and rolled rather than lofted and fell in. So
it's a good miss. There are no pictures on a scorecard.
That's right. If it's on the green, it's on the green.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who, I forget the famous quote, but somebody, whoever said the end justifies the means, that's kind of like a misnomer. It's a wrong thing, right?
Sure.
So Adam, tell us your example.
Ready?
That is,
this has been a cliffhanger, man.
We're ready.
Waiting.
Ready? Kudzu.
Yes. Yes.
That was brought in.
Do you know the backstory of this, Luke?
This was brought in for erosion control.
Uh-huh.
To help, you know, do the environment, but whoever did it didn't realize that it was a super invasive plant, and it just took over. So good intention of we need to help create or prevent erosion, you know, because just the damage that can cause.
Mm-hmm.
But wrong method. Of
choking out other
plants. It's choking out other plants. So there you go. Kudzu.
Yeah. All right. So lots for us to think about, right things we want to do with the right methods. Let's jump into the text a little bit, Luke. You got Luke 23:39-43, not the whole text that Adam did yesterday, but kind of the last part where we're steering towards.
Me,
so Luke 23.
Why don't you stall while I Bible, 39 Bible gateway this.
Through 43. That would be Luke 23:39-43.
Luke 23:39-43. And we'll roll. This is the New International Version because that's what Bible Gateway pulled up right away.
Cool.
All right. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
So that's the end of the story where the thief he's kind of made his, I don't know if you call it a conversion or a, you know, whatever it is, but he's seeing Jesus a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. And Adam, I had never looked at this chronology before about when that shift probably took place.
Right.
And I love how earlier, I guess both criminals were hurling insults.
Yeah.
And in the chronology of the story, there's some pretty wild and powerful things that have happened, like supernatural darkness or an earthquake, a centurion.
Charlton Heston.
Saying, "Is this the Son of God?"
Yeah. Yeah.
But none of those things has happened yet.
No.
And so you pointed out, this is just huge, why the thief turned.
Yes.
And this is, did you discover this? Commentator pointed it out. Just how did this come about and kind of enlighten us?
Oh, I'm not that smart. Yeah, of course.
Enlighten us to just the power of this moment. What turned the criminal?
Yeah, so it appears that what probably turned the criminal is verse 34, where Jesus says that great line of, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." Because up until that point, it says that they're hurling insults. I mean, literally it says they're blaspheming Jesus.
Mm.
And so the crowd is blaspheming, the teachers of the law are blaspheming, the criminals are blaspheming. And then Jesus says this, and then all of a sudden that guy goes silent. And then he comes out with the, "Don't you fear God? You know, when we've been sentenced to die, we deserve to die for what we've done, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." And so it is the flip of forgiveness to where if the Messiah, if the Christ can forgive his enemies, then maybe there's hope for me. And I think, too, that probably in that revolutionary's mind at that moment, maybe something finally clicks of, oh, wait, the Messiah is a whole lot different than what I was expecting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
And there's something else going on here. And I think, too, what you see is just some remarkable faith. I mean, he tells Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom."
Right.
Jesus is, just a reminder, hanging on a cross at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get to come off that. So he knows that Jesus is going to die. And so in some ways, you can probably make a safe assumption. He's assuming resurrection is taking place, that there's something different that is going to happen.
Assuming something is taking place.
Something's coming after this.
Yeah. Right.
That this can't be the end.
Yep.
Because the revolutionaries in some way, shape, or form are looking for Messiah.
Yes.
Yes.
And he's like, oh my goodness.
Yes.
This guy's it.
Yeah.
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 So there is something future oriented there whenever he's saying, "Remember me whenever you come into your kingdom." And so there's got to, whether it's resurrection, whether it's the next age or whatever, this guy does have faith that this is not the end for Jesus and his reign. It's really kind of the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I didn't even realize this either. You said blaspheme. Sure enough, the Greek is blasphemo.
Yeah.
Blasphemo or something. Anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can see where we get the word blaspheme. It's a transliteration.
Yeah.
It's literally to speak against. Yeah? Yes.
Right.
Like, and so it's not just he's insulting him. It's pretty bad. It's huge.
Yeah.
Luke, what do you think about this interaction with forgiveness? Had you ever realized that before?
Yeah, no, I mentioned it at the beginning. This was a huge observation. Just as I was reading through it, just what shifted for this guy is that forgiveness is what made him recognize who Jesus was and what was actually happening. And I think just to take that devotionally for a second.
Yeah, sure.
You know, for this quote unquote thief on the cross, what made him recognize the kingdom of God is someone forgiving somebody else.
And dying for someone else,
right? But just to think about, like, for those of us who are following Jesus and trying to do the best that we can to honor him, yes, invite, yes, pray, yes, all of these things. But maybe one of the more attractive things about the kingdom of God is that we are the type of people who don't hold on to grudges.
Mm-hmm.
And we are the type of people who can look at even the people who have harmed us and say, man, I forgive you. Father, would you forgive them for this? And that, man, that's going to make people go, whoa, something is different about these people. Maybe even more so than the, hey, you want to come sit next to me at church, which is a good thing. Do that. But also, like, there's just something about the fact that this is forgiveness that turned him on to what's happening.
Well, now that you're saying that, I'm just thinking in culture, Christians are supposed to look different, right?
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean we wear cheesy clothing that says Tommy Hellfighter on it, even though I did that.
Jesus is my lifeguard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that. You know, that's not necessarily how we're supposed to stick out. But in a culture that literally, and we have a term called cancel culture,
right?
Because we'll dig up dirt from 30 years ago and then cancel somebody. We could stick out in a good way if we would model our Messiah right here in this one.
Yep, so absolutely.
I think one of the other interesting things about this encounter that's not in the sermon at all, but just not enough time, but there's a real strong contrast between thief one and thief two.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So thief one is saying, save us, which is a demand.
Yeah.
And then thief two is saying, remember me, which is asking for mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And thief one is saying, I'll be with you if you get us out of trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to save us. You've got to get us off of this.
Prove yourself.
But the second guy doesn't do that at all. I mean, once that forgiveness thing happens, you can see he's not really concerned about saving his own skin. It's just a, you know what, I just want to be with you. And so the promise of Jesus is not just that. Thief number two, we'll call him thief number two. criminal number two gets to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Is that he gets to be with Jesus, because that's what the promise is. You know, I assure you today you will be with me. It's paradise isn't just the end goal there.
Right.
It's you get to be with him, and which is why side tangent slash not rant, but just I think that whenever we think about passing of loved ones, I would really just challenge us all to consider our vocabulary orders.
Yep.
Because what we hear too often is like, well, they passed away and now they get to be with mom, they get to be with brother, they get to be with and they get to be with Jesus.
No.
And it's like, can we
let's
reorient our hearts here, because the ultimate goal is that we're with Jesus. And yes, we get reunited with loved ones and all those other kind of things. Yes, all those kind of things are there. We get to be with the incredible cloud of witnesses that has been cheering us on, and we get to join that crowd and cheer others on.
Mm-hmm.
But the ultimate thing is I get to be with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the old John Piper question, and this is an old, old question. I don't know if you've ever heard this or not.
John Piper's been around. He's not young.
But he said, if you could have heaven and everything that goes with it, all the old reunions, all the everything, no more pain, no more sin, blah, 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 no more tears, all of your old friends, all of your old family, everybody's there together, and Jesus were not there, would you still want heaven?
Yeah, it's a powerful question. I was actually about to bring that one up,
yes,
and then you went to it, yeah.
Yes.
I love that question.
And it's a, it is a great orienting question of, one, reminding me where my heart needs to be, and two, of reminding me of how far my heart is from there.
Yeah.
And also helping us to understand maybe a little bit of a better perspective of heaven anyway.
Yes.
Right? Like, heaven is the presence of God.
Yes.
Because where the presence of God is, there is no bad.
Correct.
And where the presence of God is not, there is no good.
Correct.
And so heaven, if, like, heaven is not heaven without the presence of God.
Correct.
So you've got to make sure that that's what you're really, really after.
Well, Jesus had...
I want to be with Jesus.
He had just said it the night before to his disciples, John 16 or 17 or 18, one of those chapters,
mm-hmm.
where he said, this is eternal life, that you would know God.
Yes.
Right.
So, like, that's eternal life, not anything else. So, man, powerful story. Application points flowed off the tongue really well. You are never too bad to recover from your past. You're never good enough to secure your future, and you're never too late to respond in the present. So let's talk through those quickly before we wrap up. Adam, I love that you said you don't have to live in the moment of your tragic mistake. So why, as a culture, do you think we get stuck looking in the rearview mirror instead of out the windshield where God wants to go with us?
Yeah, I think I would tweak that just a bit, and I'd say it's, what is it about our human nature? And
sure. Yeah,
just, you know, human, which
nature,
flows
in, our culture.
Flows into our culture. And it's because we say we believe in grace, but we don't live as though grace is real. And so there's this thing about us, and I'd say it's a lie from the pit of hell. So that's where it comes from. But
you really feel.
Yeah. But there's this thing, there are these lies that just get told to us from Satan, the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, who is the father of all lies. Whenever he speaks, he just lies and just tells us that you're just too far gone, that, yeah, God may be graceful, but he won't be graceful with you. Yeah, he might forgive somebody like Gonzalo, you know, the story, you know, reference.
Yeah, I want to talk to that real quick.
But you, no, sorry, man, you're too far gone. And, that it's just a lie. And so it's a part of our sinful nature and just the spiritual battle that we're in that is going to just always tell us that. And so, that's why we get stuck, because we listen to the lies and not the truth.
Yeah, so just to reference some resources before, we've preached through stuff like Winning the War in Your Mind,
mm-hmm.
Other books like Don't Let the Enemy Have a Seat at Your Table. That's a Louis mm-hmm. Giglio.
Mm-hmm.
John Mark Comer has one, Live No Lies.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, battling, and that comes from just the belief that Satan and the demonic forces, their main battleground is in your mind,
yes.
in the thoughts.
Yep.
Like, it's evil thoughts that Satan puts there. So, I love that Gonzalo story.
Yeah.
So,
Pastor G, man.
Yeah. So you said it's a friend of a friend.
Yeah. So he is. So in Covenant Connections,
the
groups that I've been a part of. So he was in one of Alan's groups as well. So.
Oh wow, cool.
So I've never had a conversation with Gonzalo, but the text of what I shared, he actually has written a couple articles in the Christian Standard.
Okay.
And so you can actually go back and read his testimony in the Christian Standard. I mean, they were several years ago.
Sure.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Luke, you got any other stories that come to mind about just somebody that had a pretty drastic turnaround?
Yeah. Several guys that I went to school with. One of them lived on the same floor as me. We called him Dempsey.
Uh-huh.
And in high school and beyond high school, he wasn't just the guy that, like, did the drugs.
Yeah.
He was the guy who sold the drugs and all that sort of stuff. And he tells a hilarious story. He's a little bit, he's more heavy set, more overweight, all that sort of stuff. And he tells a hilarious story about the day that he learned it was a bad idea for fat people to do cocaine. And he and his friends were partaking and decided that they were going to go out and play football. And he caught a pass, and then he ran. And because he was so strung out, he just didn't know when to stop. And so he literally just ran and ran and ran. This is like, what's the movie? Forrest Gump. This is like Forrest Gump. He just literally caught the ball, run, 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 and then passed out. And then when he woke up, he's like, oh yeah, I probably shouldn't do this anymore. And so that was kind of a domino effect that led him to asking one of his friends who he knew Jesus, mm-hmm. About stuff. And he ended up at Ozark, and now he's serving in ministry. Like, really, really cool. Love that guy. He one time, you guys remember, the phrase, like the, you got to get that bread. Like, you know,
yeah.
No. Yeah. Like, you know, money, bacon, all that sort of stuff. It's like, get that bread, get that bread. Mm-hmm. One time I fell asleep on my little chair in my room while I was studying. Mm-hmm. And the door was open, and I woke up, and there was a roll and a note that said, sometimes the bread gets you. And it was Dempsey who left it. It was funny.
That's funny. So you are never too bad to recover from your past. Whether it's a drastic story like Gonzalo or Dempsey, mm-hmm. or anybody else, or, the past that is maybe in your own mind and only there because you've kind of suppressed it and you don't want to talk about it. And you think, man, I'm too bad. Cause if they only knew what's in my secret closet, mm-hmm. you know, you're never too bad. And Adam, you listed things like, you know, an affair, an argument out of wedlock, pregnancy, a crime, or any other kind of pasts. We need to live in the grace that God offers. He doesn't say those things are okay, but he says, man, I don't want to look in your rear view mirror. I want to look out the windshield and go into the future. So speaking of that, you're never good enough to secure your future. Adam talked through that. You said he was not saved because of a deathbed confession. Rather, it was a declaration. So explain that again. Whose declaration?
Yeah, it's the declaration of Jesus. It's mm-hmm. Jesus is the one with the authority to say in and out. Mm-hmm. And he's the one that says, you're going to be with me. And so... and this gets a little bit into the next point because they kind of bleed into each
sure.
other.
Yep.
But, you know, I've heard well-meaning Christian people just like have a problem with people having deathbed confessions. It's mm-hmm. just like, I don't like that. It doesn't seem fair and all this other kind of stuff. And it's like, fair? None of this is fair. So
if it was fair, we'd all be damned.
Yeah, so, we were, yeah. You know, the old Andy Stanley, fair died in the Garden of Eden, man. Uh-huh. So it's all grace now is everything that goes there. But yeah, it is the declaration of Jesus that says you're in. That's what gets us all in. And so I think that the quote-unquote occupational hazard of being a Christian for a long time is that you forget that.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to get into this place of, well, of course Jesus is going to let me in. I've been walking with him for 40 years and those kind of things. And it's a really subtle shift that we can make in our minds and our souls that is... very, very dangerous, because that's what leads to, you know...
well, that's what leads to you being thief number one.
That's exactly.
Instead of thief number two.
Or...
To where you're demanding that Jesus save you, and...
Yeah, many people will come to me in my name saying, Jesus, Jesus, I did all of this for the glory of your kingdom, and I'll say, apart from me, I never knew you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
So, years ago, I emailed... Mark Scott. So he has preached here a couple times. He's a prof.
Dr. Mark.
Yeah, for us in college. And I forget what it was for, but I was asking him, like, you know, all these years of ministry and teaching and all, like, what are the most important things that you would, like, tell someone to know? And he said two things. I have not forgotten them. In typical Mark Scott way, he said, don't forget your doxology. Yep. Okay, so like, don't forget who God is.
Yep.
And study of God. And he said, never get over grace.
Yes.
Never get over it.
Yep.
So I think on a daily basis, we referenced it last week, just preaching the gospel to yourself and mm-hmm. things like that. But just never, ever, 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 ever get over grace. And Adam, you referenced the parable Jesus told of the workers mm-hmm. and how he paid them all the same. The employer paid all his workers the same, whether they started at 9 in the morning or 4:30 in the afternoon, right before, you know, it was quitting time. And that's really the message for all of us is that, man, no matter what we get from Jesus, it's still more than we deserve.
Yeah, because I remember chatting with Gary Zusiak about this. I was just like, you know, Gary, what do we do with deathbed confessions? Because mm-hmm. it does seem weird. It does seem like, is this really legit? And he's like, absolutely. And that was what he referenced was Matthew 20, you know, the parable of the workers. It's like whether somebody comes in at, you know, 8 in the morning or 4:30 in the evening or whenever the sun's going down, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. And Jesus says that's the way it is in the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Mm-hmm. And
that's why grace is so offensive.
Yes.
We often forget how offensive grace can be.
Well, and I think whenever we find ourselves offended by it, once again, we got to go to, so why am I in this in the first place?
Yeah. Never get over grace.
Never get over grace.
Yeah.
And the whole point is to be with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's the king and I'm not, to reference One Time Blind.
One Time Blind. He's the treasure
on the pot. Do you even know who One Time Blind is?
No.
No.
Okay, that's awesome.
I bet like 1% of the people listening to this
is One Time Blind the third of the three blind mice after the other two died?
No.
It was a drama group.
It was a drama group that was at CIY's in the early aughts.
Early thousands, yeah, early 2000s.
And but they had this, you know, thing like it was like whenever Stomp was really popular.
Yeah.
Do you know Stomp? The guys that would like play drums on the trash cans or any of those kind of things. So they had a like little song that they did, you know, he's the king and I'm not. He's the king. No, I'm not.
And he's the treasure. I'm the pot. He's the king. He's the king. And I'm not. And I'm not. Yeah.
Yeah.
It stuck, man. It stuck.
Did. Hey, it's been 25 years, man. Still anyway, I don't remember why we were there.
We remember that Jesus has sin. Yeah.
Yes. Like, and he's the king. He's the one that gets
the reason. Right.
Yeah. And yeah, that's literally the word justification.
Yes.
That Jesus has declared righteousness over us. And so, boom, you're in.
Just exactly. So if I'd never sinned.
Right.
Justified. Okay, final point. You're never too late to respond in the present. You said it bleeds in, and it sure does, because, you know, 11th hour confession. I love that you said, this is more like 11th hour, 59 minutes.
In 50 seconds.
50 seconds. Like, this is a buzzer beater
it
here.
It is a buzzer beater,
I mean,
man.
Speaking of March Madness,
yeah.
You know.
He shoots. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean, that's crazy, right? So, like, this is a total tangent. Which one of them died first, you think? Jesus or the thief?
Ooh.
Well.
Probably Jesus.
I think it would have been Jesus because they broke the legs of the other guys to speed the process. So
that's
whenever they went to break the legs, they were like, okay, we got to get these guys dead and down because the sun's setting.
Yes.
So Jesus did beat him to paradise, truly.
He did beat him. So he did meet him there.
Yeah. He's the first one, man.
First one there.
Cool. Okay. Never too late to respond in the present. And here is where you reference the parable of the workers, I guess. So I jumped ahead on that one.
Yeah,
and we already talked through that. Mm-hmm. But anything else to add just on how maybe we can have the correct, you know, attitude about our own life or about others as we think through this outline? Because as I was thinking through this, I thought most of the people listening to this podcast are probably already believers.
Absolutely.
If you're not, obviously, this outline is for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in your past that is too big for Jesus to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole message of Easter. But for those who are Christians already, how can this outline maybe be helpful? And what are some things you'd say, like, as we interact with our family, friends, ones, things like that?
Well, I think if I were walking through the outline, I would say, you're never too bad to recover from your past. And so that means that no matter what is in your past doesn't disqualify you from being able to serve in the kingdom and make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're never good enough to secure your future would be the Mark Scott line of never get over grace.
Mm-hmm.
And then remind yourself daily that it's Jesus's declaration, not your confession that gets you in. And so that means if he is the one that makes declarations, he gets to make demands.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's
the huge point. Mm-hmm. And so if he asks you to do something, it's you do it, and you can ask questions while you're doing it.
Yeah.
But you do it.
Yeah.
I love, my favorite one was be baptized. How deep?
How deep?
As you're going down.
How long do you want me to stay underneath there, man?
I think I would say, Josh, to add some more to that question you asked, just think about thief number one or two or whatever we're calling him. Think about Jesus made this declaration over him, and then he experienced the kingdom of God that day, today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for those of us who have come to Jesus in faith and had declaration from him over our lives, I think that sometimes we're tempted to think, okay, that means that I'll get to experience the kingdom of God later either whenever I die or whenever he comes.
Sure.
And I think that's not necessarily the good thinking. I think it's Jesus made the declaration over you. You live as if the kingdom of God was a reality now, because it is a reality now. And that's why we pray prayers like, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we are participants, not as people in this culture first. We are participants in the kingdom of God first, because Jesus has declared it a reality over our lives today, this moment, right now.
There's a John Ortberg book called Eternity Is Now in Session.
Right.
Because it has already started.
Yes.
And that's something for us to think about too, is like, Adam, you said earlier, change our kind of vocabulary a little bit about the afterlife. And part of it is we have to stop saying someday when eternity starts, or someday I can't wait to get to heaven, because there's a different level of that for sure. But someday, like, is already today. If we're a Christian, it's already started.
Yep.
So real quick, Adam, talk to us about the how do you say his name? Alistair?
Sure. Alistair Begg? That's how I'm going to say it. So,
is he British?
He's Scottish.
Scottish. All right. It's a wonderful clip.
Yeah.
60 seconds of it. It was fun.
I think it ended up being 83 seconds technically.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, it's all right. 60, give or take 23.
Buzzer beater.
Talk to us about that.
It's just one of the greatest preaching clips that may be in existence. So. It's just so good. I mean, just the... He just does such a great job, I mean, with it. I mean, it is just hilarious to think about what that day was like, and just the confusion for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well,
let me go get my supervisor.
Yeah, let me get my supervisor.
Yeah. Funny, funny, funny. Okay, bottom line for yesterday was, who you used to be isn't who you have to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good reminder for all of us, Christian or not. Challenge, who do you say Jesus is? So personalize it. It's a great question on Easter. Once again, Christian or not.
Yeah.
If you've been a Christian, you almost have to, like, I think, Luke, you've said this before, how there's value in corporately us confessing Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Right.
He is still my Lord and my Savior. Like, saying that together, because it's not something we just say once.
Right.
Kind of like when you get married, it's not the last time you say I love you.
Right.
So you reconfess that all the time.
And so, I think this question is a pretty good question to summarize just not only Adam's sermon, but the Encounter series as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anytime we have
That's
an
good.
Encounter with Jesus,
yep.
we have to walk away with a decision about who we're going to say he is and what we're going to do with him. And so I think this is a great bookend question for us to think about.
Excellent. Okay, we're about done. Let's wrap up quickly with a fun little game here. So Luke, you're gonna play this one by yourself right now, and tell me, where would you least like to spend the night? A grain floor, a palace, a desert, a cave, a tent, or not sleeping?
Least like to spend the night, not sleeping. Yeah, I was done with lock-ins a long time ago, or all-nighters a long time ago.
What dead language would you like to be able to read? Aramaic, ancient Greek, Sanskrit, ancient Egyptian, biblical Hebrew, or Latin?
Definitely, I think I'll go with ancient Greek.
Great.
It was between that or biblical Hebrew.
What is your favorite mode of transportation? Walking, riding,
On a donkey.
Or an animal, if any. An animal. Okay, driving.
Okay.
Cycling. Being carried. Or flying.
I'll just go with, like, driving or riding in a car. But I'm intrigued by the carrying one. And so,
all right.
If anybody wants to volunteer to carry me around a little bit, that'd be fun.
What is your greatest fear in life? And actually, this only has 6 options. So, out of the 6, what is your greatest fear?
Okay.
Being eaten alive.
Ooh.
Death by sword, starvation, public speaking. We know that's not your fear. Heights, or the death of a loved one. What's your biggest fear out of those 6?
Well, it was definitely probably being eaten alive. Sorry to all my loved ones there, but.
Yeah, I mean,
being eaten alive, that's
no joke.
Yeah, I just, Yeah, I'm getting a little queasy thinking about the type of animals that could do that to me right now.
Especially if it was a slow death, like leeches.
If it was a snake or something.
Oof.
Like a big old anaconda or a python or something, that would be terrible.
So
terrible.
I remember when I was growing up, they said, here is how you don't get eaten by an anaconda. They said, if it's coming to eat you, don't even try to escape. Just lay down.
Yep.
Make sure you have your knife.
Yep, have the knife.
And eat it.
Let it eat you
halfway, and then you slit its mouth.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, that crazy. Is disgusting.
Yes, but that would be the worst. Like, I'd rather be any other animal besides that one if I had to choose.
Yeah. Okay, what out of these six is your greatest strength? Courage, loyalty, steadfastness, leadership, responsibility, or persistence? So are you courageous like a lion?
Sure.
Are you loyal like a dog? Are you steadfast like an ox? Do you have leadership like a wolf? Are you responsible like a bear? I guess that's the animal there. I don't know why they did these.
Yeah.
Or are you persistent like a turtle?
I would say I'll go with steadfastness because for one of two reasons. Because I think when I really focus in on something, it's going to get done.
All right.
But that also rears its head in an ugly way sometimes because the opposite, the negative side of steadfastness is obsessiveness.
Yeah, there you go.
So I kind of tend to obsess about stuff sometimes.
All right. One of these six colors, white, purple, orange, brown, green, or black.
Just choose which one.
Yeah, pick a color.
Green.
Green.
Yeah, spring.
Okay. Did you have any idea what you were doing there?
Any idea? Like, oh, were you actually doing something there?
I'm doing a quiz for you. Do you know
this is a quiz?
Do you know what you were doing?
No, I had no idea. Right. I was just enjoying the conversation as all. Here I am.
You're up
about me.
Your biblical character.
Oh, no, it's Judas.
No. Okay. According to Crew, so what used to be known as, what was it? The campus ministry.
Uh-huh.
Campus Crusade for Christ. Or
something.
Anyway.
Right.
Your biblical character, you'll be happy about this one.
Okay.
Nehemiah.
Ah, there we go.
Called to be a spiritual leader, he courageously took on the responsibility to rebuild a city and in the face of danger and disruptive.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that obsession right there.
Yeah.
We're going to get this wall done.
That's right.
Let's go.
In like 30 days or something crazy like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wild. All right, Nehemiah. If you all want to discover your biblical character, I'm sure there's a quiz out there you can have fun with.
That is very refreshing because the last time I did something like that,
I remember you said I did legit
get Judas Iscariot.
Yeah.
So I immediately tried to get all of the 30 pieces of silver out of my life.
That's right.
I don't need any silver.
So maybe next time we'll let Adam see which biblical character he would be. But until next week, we love you guys a lot. We like you. We can't wait to see you. And we hope to see you because next week we're starting a brand new series. Is it the end of the world? Question mark.
As we know it.
So that's all we'll say now. You heard saw the announcement Sunday as well. And we're excited to jump into that as well as summer series and things like that. All right. Spring is fully here. We love you guys and we can't wait to see you.